Welcome to fucking Candyland, hosted by Rampage and Gemini. What's up, motherfuckers? Welcome back to Candyland.
So tonight it's just me and Gemini, and we hope that you have been enjoying our variety of guests. We have a couple more interviews coming up, and we're going to try to stack some guests so that we can drop every other week with a guest. We are wanting to expand our horizons, our conversations, and really get into some of those taboo topics by bringing on taboo people.
Yeah, I like taboo people. I think they're interesting. I don't know. I like our podcast and who we bring on, but sometimes I'll try and get into new podcasts and I'm like, you have hella corny guests, bro. I can't listen.
I just do like an intuitive thing when people have guests, and like some podcasts I listen to them because I'm drawn to the guest as well. And then sometimes like I'll listen to like 20 minutes of it and I'm like, this isn't hitting for me.
Some people I've found, I really like them on social media. Like, I like their TikTok and stuff. And then I hear them talking and I am like, oh, yeah, no, I'm bored.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize how difficult it is to hop on a podcast and keep a conversation going for an hour plus. Like, people who do podcasts make that look easy. But like we've said before, there is a reason that over like 75% of podcasts only have 10 episodes or less.
Yeah, and it's interesting as a podcast host to try and find people whose like energy and communication style is something that you're going to even want to have a conversation with somebody for an hour. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I find that like it's really easy to go back and forth, but when you add a third or a fourth voice in there, it's like we like have to try to find a flow with that person despite like never talking to them before. But I do think that like it's a growing process. Interviewing guests, talking to people is one thing, but having a conversation with three or more people on a podcast is a lot. Like, it's different for you on Coven of Rejects to just interview people and like, you know, the focus is on them, but like we don't make it where we're interviewing them as far as like a set list of questions, you know what I mean? So I feel like it's just like a variety of like how comfortable the guest feels, because I think some conversations flow very naturally and then some people are just a little more shy or reluctant or not really sure what they're going to say, so they're nervous.
I've had people, even with it just being me though, over on Coven, like I've had guests where when we've been talking and scheduling to get the podcast going, they're really talkative. But then once we're recording, I'm literally like there's episodes I haven't aired because there was no chemistry with the person that I was talking to. And whether that be like they are nervous or they've never done a podcast or, you know, whatever the reasons may be, sometimes it's just difficult to get a conversation going. And that's how it is in everyday life. Like everybody that you meet, even if you think they're an interesting person, doesn't mean that you have something interesting to talk about with them.
Exactly. And I think that a lot of people give a persona on social media that like isn't always who they really are. And I know that you said that you've been trying to share more about your life. And I feel like I've been doing the opposite. And I've been trying to be more like mysterious and like not share everything, because people do straight send you not good energy when you're sharing good news sometimes. And I feel like sometimes I just like want things untainted, unbiased, and untouched by outside energies, because so many people try to get one over on you, or you know what I mean? Like pretend they're something that they're not. And then when you are sitting and talking to them, or you do meet them in person, or you do give them a chance in relationships or whatever, it's just like then true colors really come out. So like it's one thing to be like, I like that person on the internet, but like, do you really like that person as like who they really are without the illusions and things that they've created? Because like we know for sure that when we went to Utah, that girl didn't like me, even though she invited me, she planned all this stuff. She didn't like me. Like, now that we like did that episode with Juber and we went through some of the like things from her perspective and just beyond, it's really, really clear now that like I was the problem. Like, she did not like me for some godforsaken reason that she invited me to Utah.
And I don't know why. Like, to this day, I'm still like, I don't understand, because you're the exact same person that you are in our friendship that you are in person. Like, it's, there's nothing that's any different. I think that our dynamic, though, was different in person than I thought that it was going to be. Like, I thought that you were going to be the more, like, assertive, bold one in person, like, doing all of the things. And that you were, like, I knew I was going to be making food and stuff like that. But I thought that you were going to be more, like, take charge and, like, command situations. And you were more like, I'm willing to do whatever it is that you want to do. And to this day, I don't understand how you're not the one that's liked, when you were the one who was like, oh, you want to take me on an ATV ride to my death? Cool, I'm down for it. And I was like, fuck you, I'm not going.
I don't know. I mean, I think I'm really like, I'm very assertive in communication. Like, this is what I expect. These are my boundaries. Like, don't talk to me this way. Don't act this way, whatever. But like, when it comes to like going with the flow, like, I am the definition of going with the flow. Like, when I go on a vacation, I don't want something planned every day. Like, if I go to Vegas, I plan one really nice expensive dinner and have reservations for one day, and I get tickets to something, whether it's a concert, a show, a magic show, something like that. But then like the other days that we're there, I don't want to have a plan. Like, I know I may like want to go to the pool or go shopping or things like that, but like, I don't want to plan something. And I feel like some people take me being assertive and kind of dominant as like, I'm going to have an itinerary, and it's like, you better wake up at 10 a.m. because we need to leave here at 10:30, or like one of those people that's like, wow, you're getting ready, you're taking forever, you know, because some people are pushy like that, but I'm just not. Like, I'm just like, I'll sit here and chill and I'll wait, and I'm not in a rush ever.
I love that you're literally getting rushed anytime that you did your makeup. And we didn't even talk about that with Juber. We didn't even talk about the fact that you were doing your makeup in the bathroom and literally had just started. And I think you were putting lipstick on. And homegirl was like, I'll just use the microwave as a mirror because I'm not high maintenance.
Oh my gosh, I forgot she said that. Yeah, like, I didn't even bring a full spread of makeup because I was having that issue with my eye. So I didn't even have like all my makeup. I think I just like had some face makeup and like some lipstick, and I was doing my eyebrows or something. Like, it was like very basic, would have only taken me like 15 fucking minutes. And she's like causing a scene. Like, who the hell books a fucking A-frame cabin for four women and then tells everybody that like, you should just bring sweats, knowing damn well I'm not taking fashion advice from someone I want to dress like. Like, if I don't want to dress like you, I'm not taking your advice. Like, if I want to show up however I want to show up to the family gathering, to the event, to the whatever, I'm not listening to just wear jeans or just wear this. Like, I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear, period.
Shut up. Nobody asked you.
Why?
Nobody asked you. And yeah, because like, I was totally like thinking we're out in some like retreat the whole time and look like a bum ass bitch. And I can't wait for us to have like a new adventure with new memories, so that the memory that we have of us being together isn't surviving fucking the Utah apocalypse of like crazy white females. Dirt Soul Lady really gave me PTSD of our trips, and we need to rectify that and change it and make it all better.
Honestly, I feel like she wanted to ruin that trip so bad, but I still had a really good fucking time. Like, I truly had a good time, and I thoroughly, like, even though the ATV thing was super scary, I still had a really good time on the ATV. Like, that's a core memory, because I know for a damn fact I will never do that again. Like, unless I am like with someone who like has their own and has a trailer and a truck and like everything under the sun, and they have it as their own, different, because she literally acted like she drives those all the time and she does not. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't.
I have never been so positive to somebody before that I literally was so fucking angry at and like terrified for my life. I was like, I can't. Oh my God. I was preparing for like what I would hang on to if we went over the side. I did not have a good time. My hands were sweating through those fucking gloves. They were so wet that they kept sticking off of the bar, sliding off of the safety bar. I never let go of that fucking bar in front of us the whole time we rode in that ATV. No. Nope. I don't want to relive that again. Hard pass. We've been invited to other Utah shit though. And I'm like, maybe we give Utah another pass. Like, maybe we explore what the Mormons do in Utah. Like, what is there to do out there? It has to be beautiful.
I like Utah. Honestly, like, I've been out there twice and I enjoyed it both times. Like, clearly there was something that needed to be done in the situation. Like, there was a crazy person with us, but when I went to Utah the first time, me and my friend Chastity went and we had a really good time. She had never been to Vegas, and so we literally on our last day there went hiking, came back to the Airbnb, got ready, drove the 3 hours to Vegas. We gained an hour. But then on the way home, clearly we were going to lose that hour. I was driving us like on the way home, like 95, because the speed limit's 80. So I'm going like 95, because at one point we were like so behind schedule that like we had to fly out at Salt Lake City at like 10 a.m. And we were staying like 2 hours away from the airport. Like, yeah. So it was like, we had to literally go back to the Airbnb, literally grab our stuff as fast as we could, get back in the car and drive to the airport. We made it, but it was like one of those things where it's like a memory, because Chassie had never been to Vegas like to do that. We had a really great dinner and we had so many leftovers. We just like literally pulled over the same thing we did when we were in Utah and just gave it all to a homeless person. They were like, what? And I was like, there's an $80 steak in there. And they were like, what? So that
I forgot we did that.
Yeah, we gave that we gave them all of the salsa and spices. There was so much stuff that you didn't take. Like all those, there was literally so much stuff that we bought you all that we carried from the first cabin to the next cabin or the next Airbnb. And we was cooking. But then once we got to our other Airbnb, it was literally like blast from the past. Like we didn't cook there really.
We didn't want to cook. Yeah. But like by the time that we got to that Airbnb, that first night for sure, we were so emotionally drained. Like as soon as we closed the door, me and Juber just started crying. And I remember like crying on the couch and I was like, I want to go home. And you're like, what? And I was like, I want to be with my husband. I'm fucking tired of this. I don't want to be here. Like, I'm so uncomfortable. And you're like, no, like we're going to stay. We're going to do it. And then I remember like he was all stressed about that whole situation. Because he had thought, like, he was the one getting the midnight phone calls, hearing me about to fucking throw homegirl off the fucking top thing. So he's freaking out. And so that energy was coming. And I remember you're all calm on the couch and you're like, I don't have any response to this. I grew up with a crazy mom. You're like, he's going through his own thing while we're here. He's having to deal with his own battles about you being gone and separation. So, like, let's just hang out. We're going to go get food. We're going to whatever. And I was like, okay. And that's when we went to like go and pick up the car and everything. And I thought it was so dope that you guys wanted to get the car. A big reason being for me to not have to ride alone in an Uber to the airport. And when Juber was like, no, we have to get it because like, we have to take you to the airport. You can't be in like a different state and just like by yourself and have like a random Uber take you. And I was like, that's so fucking sweet.
What was crazy is we rented a car, you all, from that app. It's called Turo. And the guy literally had an AirTag somewhere disguised in the car. So, like, we're just driving. And out of nowhere, it's like an AirTag has been moving with you since this time. And I was, like, kind of freaking out because, like, you hear horror stories about those AirTags and people putting them in your purse and in your bag and whatever. And I was thinking, like, is this bitch tracking us? Like, I mean, I didn't know, like, because it was just weird. Like, they did that because I don't think that that's even, like, told, like, that wasn't spoken. But honestly, we had a really good time, you all. At the end of the day, it brought us closer. I think that anytime you go through struggles, it's really important to look at what you gained, what type of lesson, because I swear that has helped me and Gemini navigate some really fucking stressful things that, like, nothing could be as stressful as being on the side of a fucking mountain in two-wheel drive. Like, nothing in this world could touch. Like, if we fall off this mountain, we're all dead right now, and our driver is drunk, telling our tour guide that she's got this and that she does this her whole life and every day of her life, and that she brought her baby and her son and all these things out here. But, like, the most random thing about all of this is, like, the first day we got there, everyone was, like, having this vulnerable moment, and she was telling us how, like, she was, like, 34 or 35 and what was trying to have another kid and all these things. And it's just like, how are you going to tell us all this vulnerable stuff and then just be like, yeah, I don't even like you. You're too nice. Fuck you. I don't know why you're doing this. I don't even know why you're here. Like, it was just, like, bipolar. And I think that because of that moment, like, we've gotten funnier and way smarter.
We've gotten funnier and smarter, but also, like, and we were just talking about this before the podcast. I think that people underestimate the level of unbothered that we really are about things. Like, even if we're, like, up, we're never upset with each other or thinking weirdly of each other inside of situations. It's always, how do we tackle whatever is coming our direction or whatever is going on? And I do think that the reason that that Utah thing sticks out to us so much is, like, that was an in-person situation. Like, the first time that we really were like, oh, we got to look out for us. And, like, somebody else is moving weird and trying to, like, get in the middle of our friendship. Like, there was very much like, oh, well, don't you think it's shady that they just left you here to sit on the trail while they went up ahead? No, I'm the bitch who's not going to walk on this sandy rock. Like, I'm not going to ruin their time. Like, so there's just different stuff. And then we've had things come up in the background, you know, inside of, like, our communities and whatever since that, where, or, like, clients or whatever, where people are just, like, super strange to us behind each other. And we're like, we communicate. So, you know, I don't know. I just, the level of unbothered is so high.
I feel like there's a fine line in being like, hey, I'm going to downgrade with you and go upgrade with Gemini and I'll still be able to work with you. Or, hey, I'm going to join her Patreon and cut yours off and then vice versa. Like, there's a fine line of being like, hey, I'm going to go do this. But there's a different thing that I've been seeing where people are like, I want to work with you, and then immediately go to you and they're like, I'm going to book with you. And it's cool, like, if you want to book with both of us, but it's like, it's almost like sometimes people, like, try to play us against each other. Like, well, what can she do for me? What can you do for me? And then try to see, like, if we're going to, like, be upset or challenged in some way. It's just like, I think a lot of people's egos do that subconsciously. Like I've said before, like, if you don't work on your shit and your shadow and your trauma, your 7 to 12-year-old self is the one making decisions. So when you felt left out in fifth grade, you're projecting that into your adult life. So you don't like healthy dynamics subconsciously, of course. Like, you may not know you consciously are doing that, but there may be a tendency to want to come between people or to play people against each other, kind of like people do with their parents. They play their parents against each other. Kids do that. People play their partners. Like, when people get married, they'll do that, like, with their mother-in-law and their husband or whatever. I've seen a lot of women lately that are like, we're starting a new family and I'm more important than your mother and all these things. And, like, I understand that, like, you're starting a family, but that's also still their family. So you're putting them in between your differences and discrepancies. And I think just so many people do that because it's like when you're on the playground and you don't get picked for dodgeball or you don't get, you know, picked for sports or whatever, like, you feel left out, and then you never healed that trauma or you never actually acknowledged that it bothered you. Because a lot of people are like, you know, they got left out. And so then they started hanging out with the bad kids, you know what I mean? Or the kids who did drugs. That was me. Like, I never really tried to get picked for anything, but I also like never hung out with people that were good for me. I feel like growing up, I was always the kid that like people's parents didn't want their kid to hang out with, like, purpose. They would be like, okay, it's fine. But then they would find out later that my mom let us drink and would leave us. And like, my mom would literally like let like 16-year-olds babysit me and like my friends, but not even tell their mom that she wasn't going to be home. Like, oh yeah, they can stay over here. And then my mom would just bounce, you know? So like, I don't know. I think a lot of people don't realize they're playing both sides of the field, or they're being like unsupportive in a way, because it's counterproductive to message me and ask me a bunch of questions, right? And be like, oh, I'm going to do that. And then to go to you 5 seconds later and be like, asking you a bunch of questions like, oh, I'm going to do that, knowing damn well they're not doing any of it.
I've even had it like reverse. Like, you've had people do that and then do things with me. And I've had the same thing where I'll have somebody that I'm talking to for weeks about, like, I had a girl who I was talking to for weeks that kept asking me questions about booking. And then she listened to Lollipop and she went over and she booked with you. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I genuinely am like, thank you for spending money with my best friend. I'm going to get a present. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. And I think that something that I really love is that there is never a second thought about you being upset in a situation, or like there being jealousy when things like that happen, because we truly are just like, bitch, go do your thing. Like, I don't care. I have my own stuff that's going on. And I think that a lot of things like that happen inside of friendships anyways, not just ours, where this stuff gets thrown in to like be messy or dirty, or people are weird and they're jealous that you have a friend and they want to be that person's friend or whatever. And some people just don't have solid conversations and dynamics where they talk about things. Like, if I was to know that somebody was like saying something about you, or like being direct about something, I would be like, oh, I'll just block you. And I wouldn't have room for somebody who didn't like you in general anyways. And I just expect that, like, that's how friendships work. And that's how you are too. And I've heard, like, there are people, I've seen this on TikTok, and this makes me question you, people that are like, just because my friend doesn't like you doesn't mean that I don't like you. No, if my friend doesn't like you, there's a fucking reason, and I don't fuck with you either.
Yeah, I think people do that a lot, especially like in hometown bullshit, like the gossip. Like, if they're gossiping about this person to you, they are talking about you to someone else or telling your business. And I've had people kind of play that card. Like, they want to be like the mole kind of thing. Like, they want information. They want to pretend that we're close, that we're friends, but it's really just so they can use my name in front of other people that either like gains them clout or acceptance. Like, the amount of people that are like, I know Paige, I grew up with Paige on Bunny's post, is like wild to me, because like, there will literally be people that like I have not spoken to in forever being like, wow, I know, you know, Bunny and Jelly Roll now. Could you do this for me? Could you do that for me? And like, if you're listening and you've done that, because there's more people than I can count that have tried to get me to call in my favor for them, like, would you walk around over hot coals for me? Because if you wouldn't, don't even ask me for a favor. Like, if you're not going to go and put your life on the line for me, like, don't ask me to do all these little things for you, especially when they involve other people. It's one thing when you're asking for my time or my energy and I can reject that or accept that. But it's a different thing when you're trying to use all the hard work and things I've done for me to benefit you, when you literally do not support me in the fucking slightest. And I don't even mean like, oh my God, you have to support me, because there are so many people that like and share stuff that have never booked anything. And I appreciate them the same as the people who book and leave reviews and tell their friends. It's not about what you're spending with me or anything. Like, I don't rank people. Like, I just think it's weird that you would write someone that you barely speak to and ask them to do a random favor for you. Whether it's, can I have $10, or can you talk to Bunny for me, or whatever. Like the amount of people that say that they want to make something for money and they want to know if I can get it to her. Like, yes. You know how many people have came through on that? Zero. Like no one. So these people are like, oh, I make shoes, or I make paintings, or I make this, I make that. Can you get it to Bunny and Jelly? Like, yeah. And none of them ever come through with the item. So it's like, why are you wasting my time? Like, why are you trying to speak to me? Like, you know what I mean? In that sense of like, let me distract you. Let me use you. What can you do for me? Energy. And that's what gets old. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize they're doing that in the spiritual arena with the, hey, can I ask you a question? Hey, can I ask you a question? Like, I'll answer a question. Like, I'm not going to just shut you down. But it's when you want free back and forth, and then you go to Facebook and then you ask, hey, I need a psychic medium, but you've already DM'd me like 14 times asking prices and all this. And then you go over to Gemini and start asking her those same questions. And then later we speak together, we speak about it. And it's like, oh yeah, they wrote me too. And I'm like, they've been writing me since February. And it's just weird. Like that's where it makes our head spin, because it's not like you even join Patreon for $5 or $10 or even like, you know, sometimes like people don't realize, but like you can send a little donation or a little tip or something. Like if someone helps you out, I don't care if it's like knowledge about hair, cars, home, it doesn't matter. Like send an energy exchange and you would get more from the universe. But it's when you're trying to take and not give anything that you keep getting pushed back, because the universe doesn't respond to people that just take all the fucking time.
I got to give a shout out to my girl, Melissa. We've talked about her on here before, but that girl, there's been, I mean, it's probably happened more than once, but I can think of one time recently where she was like, listen, I just need to vent. And she sent me like voice note. And then she sends me a donation through my website and was like, thank you for listening. I just needed a safe space to like say this to. And I'm like, well, thank you. She listens to every episode. I'm like, that it's not even about the monetary value of something. It's about somebody being like, hey, your time and your energy is worth something. Like, I'm going to be dumping this onto you right now. I just want you to know that like, this is an appreciation, and money is it's an energy exchange. But, on top of that too, like, it's really annoying when people know that we charge for a service and that they know that we offer a service, and they send tons of messages about, can I get advice on this? Can I get advice on that? Or what type of reading or whatever. And then when you give them the pricing or you give them the link, it's, oh, well, I can't pay for it right now because I'm a mom and, you know, I have to go to work and I have these things happening and it's Christmas time and yada, yada, yada. And like, that's totally fine. Like, there's not the expectation. Like, I don't sit there and go, oh, I'm going to talk to this person because they're going to pay me. But if you're going to sit there and ask questions about services and things, and then turn around and say all of the hundreds of reasons that you can't do something after just utilizing, you know, conversation for however long, that's really frustrating too.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think people don't realize they're doing in a spiritual arena. Like, you're not going to go to a hairdresser and ask them how to blend the color. What color codes do you use? Like, where do you get your products? Like, you're not going to go and ask them all that shit. You're just not. And if you did, they're not going to entertain it. You know what I mean? Because that's what they get paid, that knowledge they went to school. I think because spirituality is either like naturally evolved, you developed it, you went to classes or whatever, people don't see it as something that like is tangible, like, oh, you have a degree in that, or you went to college for that. And people are more than willing, when you're in trouble, to pay a lawyer $1,000 an hour or a realtor $18,000 to sell your house or whatever. And it's like, you're not paying me for the minutes, you're paying me for the experience and the wisdom and the expertise that I've developed by devoting myself to something. And a lot of the times, the shit people ask can be Googled. Like, what is shadow work? when you literally could type in what is shadow work? Like, before words even come out of your mouth in someone's DM that you have not exchanged anything with. And this doesn't apply to clients. Like, if you've booked with me and I tell you, I give you an open door policy. If you've booked with me and I say something in this reading and you listen to it later and you have a question, or you're like, hey, what did you say? Or hey, what was that book? I'm more than happy to tell you. Period, because you've already invested in yourself. So yes, I'm more than happy to help you make sure that you have the tools that I mapped out for you. But what I'm not going to do is like give you free advice. Like, well, do you feel like my mom's with me? Yes. The answer is always yes. When someone's in spirit and you feel close to them, they are with you. Yes. Period. Like, that's always the case. Like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. It's like, a lot of people just want an outside source to validate their own intuition and their own feelings. And that's why people got to do some fucking healing, because the 12-year-old version of you wants validation from outside sources. The 12-year-old, that version of you didn't get that support from your parents or school, or didn't have the nicest clothes or whatever it is. And you're scarred. You're scarred because of it. And there is scar tissue, baby, that you need to work through, because at the end of the day, me validating something for you and you doing nothing with the information and continuing on your path of victimhood, or I don't have the money, or whatever. Like, the people who say they don't have the money for like a reading or some spell work normally need it the most. And if you would take your last dollar to fucking buy a bunch of junk for your kid for Christmas, like, think about how much healing and opportunity could arrive when you invest in yourself and give that love and attention to your kid or your family that maybe you didn't receive. You know, people don't see it as an investment that has long-term changes and like a ripple effect on everyone around you. So instead of going to Five Below and dropping $80 on your kid, spend $40 on a reading and spend $40 on your kid, and then be present with your child. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me how people act like they're trying to give their kid everything they never had. And it's literally always only material items, period.
That is true. But I think that's because there's so much stress put on the everyday, like, human life of your whole purpose is supposed to be just about money, and people put happiness off to the side and self-care and time with their kids and whatever, because no, I have to make this amount of money and do this specific thing and have this specific job. And, you know, they don't want to do something that maybe is going to be more difficult, but gives them more time, or, you know, whatever the balance needs to be. That's totally true.
Just saying, like, your kid, I don't care what age they are, would remember and appreciate your presence, your patience, your attention, your sincerity over, like, okay, my mom bought me an Xbox and locked me in my room and let me play it for 5 hours today. Like, yeah.
Here's something that really bothers me is, like, so I've had Christmases where I've given my son, like, new boots, new clothes, new, you know, whatever, like, things that are actually needed in life. And I've gotten, like, that's so mean. You're supposed to get him toys, you know, like, whatever, you should be getting him these things. And I feel like people have such a fucked sense of reality of, like, the things that actually matter. And my kid is going to get a toy, and he's literally not even going to barely play with it on Christmas and probably never play with it again. And I'm going to argue with him all the time that he needs to pick it up from the middle of his room. And it's only there because he's moving it out of the way to go and get some shitty crinkled up little piece of paper that he made a cootie catcher with. Like, people have, again, just like this fucked sense of, like, reality. And I think that to expect that people are going to spend hundreds of dollars and all of these things on Christmas presents for their kids, and if they don't do that, then, like, they're shitty parents. I would have loved to go shopping for Christmas when I was a kid, get brand new clothes. My mom, that's what my parents did. I got new clothes at Christmas all the time. I would go school shopping and I got clothes at Christmas and my birthday. And I was never like, oh, I wish I hadn't gotten this.
I just think that capitalism has brainwashed people, and, like, you're really just on this hamster wheel of what society wants. Like, society wants a picket fence. Society wants a new car. Society wants a big house. But 9 times out of 10, whenever I have a client or someone around that's like, we upgraded our house and now we're struggling because all of our extra income goes to our new mortgage, or we lost all of our equity because we bought such a bigger house and I thought this is what I wanted. I hear that time and time again, like, life was just so much simpler when we had our small house or our first house or our paid off car or whatever. And it's like, you think you want it until it takes away all your freedom. Like, a lot of people that make a lot of money are very absent in their children's life. They travel a lot for work. They work overtime. They're on this schedule. And your kids aren't remembering that they got an Xbox at 7. They're going to remember that their dad missed every football game that they had. Or they're going to remember that, like, their dad was always home, but he was on the phone or on his phone or watching sports or whatever. And I just feel like priorities have shifted for me when I stopped worrying about what society deems as successful. Like, if you're an artist, you don't need someone to justify that you're an artist. You can literally print off cards tomorrow that say you're an artist and start selling art. And only thing that you need is consistency and confidence. If you have those two things, people will buy your stuff. But if you're not consistent, because a lot of people don't realize how hard it is to start a business or how difficult it is to transition from the hamster wheel of capitalism into peace and tranquility, because peace will be having you feel like you're bored. Peace will be having you feel like the other shoe is going to drop. Peace will have you feel like you need to be doing something. And that is the actual opposite of what you need to be focused on. Because if you can't sit in peace and quiet, then your soul has so much chaos that it's craving because of your upbringing or because of your programs or because of society. Like, I can't stand people that are like, all I do is work. Like, what kind of life is that? Because that sounds terrible.
Because that sounds, and then, but we're told that, like, that's what you're supposed to be doing, or you're lazy and you're unmotivated. And that was literally why I had to take that 3 weeks off of my business was, and like doing anything, was because I was like, I always am having to do something and I don't understand how to just be chill. And that was really difficult at first. And then I didn't want to come back after.
Yeah.
But here we are.
I mean, I personally, like, really have found balance. And when I see angel numbers and I look them up, it's like, you've learned to balance spirituality in your human life, or you've learned to balance monetary concerns with rest. Like, if you're constantly on that hamster wheel of like, what's next, what's next, what's next, or constantly worrying about things that are in the future, you are losing quality of life. Like, you are losing sleep, you are losing hair, you're losing peace, you're gaining wrinkles, whatever it is, get off the fucking hamster wheel. The one thing for me is I love buying presents, but I hate that I have to go buy wrapping paper and bags and stuff, because I think that that's like the worst $50 or $60 that I'm going to spend. I would much rather like just hand people their presents, but I'm like, no, they need to be wrapped because that's part of the fun. But whoever invented wrapping paper is a fucking scammer.
I fucking hate wrapping paper. And then when people are like, I'm sending you presents for the kids, you're going to need to wrap them, I'm like, fuck you. You should have wrapped them. Like, I think that that's probably stupid to say, but I genuinely don't want to. I usually get like a bag, like the bags, and I'll usually do the bags and then the tissue paper. And I'll be like, you got bags and tissue paper underneath the thing. I've also just kept my kids' presents before in the Amazon boxes. Open the box. I don't know. I don't give a fuck about the wrapping. I never understood that.
I like what it looks like and I like it. I just hate spending money on it. Like, I just hate spending money on wrapping paper, because like, if you get it after Christmas, it's like $1 a roll. And if you get it before, it's like $6.99. And I'm just like, why is there a 600% markup on this shit? Because you know that it costs y'all 29 cents to make this. So I don't know. It's just like, it's more so for me, it's not the wrapping portion. It's how much trash it creates, how it's just like a fucking landfill nightmare. And then I've got to go spend like an additional $50 to $60 on materials to do all this. Tape, string.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to wrap. I don't want to have to do all of that.
I like unwrapping presents. Like, I buy myself presents and I wrap them.
I will expect you to send me something wrapped then, showing me your wrapped skills.
It's going to be wrapped in the UPS box. It's going to be bubble wrap.
Do you like your stocking that you got?
I do. And if you all didn't hear, we have merch that dropped, and it's on Gemini's website, covenofrejects.com. And we have coffee mugs, cups, shoes, hoodies, you name it. In the summer, we'll have bathing suits and towels and random stuff like that. But for now, go order you a stocking for a guaranteed Christmas delivery, and definitely tap in and see what else she has on her site, because she has a bunch of stuff.
Thank you. We should do like flesh colored bathing suits that just have little candies on the nipples.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Yeah, I bet you would. You would fucking, yeah, that's a great idea. You could get the logo on the bottoms and you could just have my face on your butt cheek.
There you go. Lick it, baby. Lick it. Lick that.
Lick it like a lollipop.
So yeah, we just wanted to tap in with you all and drop this little bonus episode, and we will have a guest to drop on Wednesday, our regular scheduled programming. Gemini, is there anything else that you want to add? Did you want to pull a card tonight?
Yeah, I could pull a card. Let me get this bitch off my lap.
Perfection.
My husband had to meet me at the chiropractic office today to come and bring me the dog, and he brought her inside. And she thought that when my boss went to give my husband the adjustment, she thought that my boss was trying to attack Brian. And so she started fucking barking in the office and like going fucking nuts, thinking that he was getting mauled to death by the chiropractor.
Aww.
All right. It is card 17. The sign says psychic.
Yee.
It is for the soothsayer. And you guys, if you're listening, look up the angel number 17 also and see how it applies to this or to you in the moment. The sign is Aries. The gift is farsightedness, and the shadow is a limited lens. This gift reveals a perspective that far surpasses the limited subjective lens of the shadow. When you're able to access this higher frequency state, you see how every individual part plays an integral role in the whole, and no single element is to blame. You bear witness to overarching patterns in the collective and have the capacity to foresee the implications of those patterns in the future. Thus, you are a sort of fortune teller who has made a quantum leap from mere logic. By infusing your magic into the world, you help the collective to shift into greater planes of consciousness. Ask questions, be open to possibility, and allow your curiosity to fan the flame. Your shadow is a limited lens. When out of balance, you might prioritize the left brain and approach life from a more masculine-driven model. With this comes rigidity, a hyper-focus on logic and structure that doesn't always allow for fluidity and grace or the room to be mistaken. Opinions run amok. By abandoning the feminine counterbalance, opinions seem to solidify as fact, and we forget our interconnected nature. But nothing is quite as obvious as it seems. Wisdom isn't necessarily a product of the intellectual mind. To move past the shadow, honor both feminine and masculine energies, and learn to challenge your own adopted viewpoints. Your themes are farsightedness, curiosity, balance, and patterns.
Beautiful, beautiful. And as always, if you go to lollipoppodcast.com, you can email us, you can send guest suggestions, topic suggestions. just an announcement. We have Trashly coming onto the podcast. Jim and I made a video on TikTok earlier today. Submit questions, because she's been interviewed by people like Bunny and just beyond. She's done all kinds of interviews. She has a lot of things that she's already spoke on. Her story was one of the most wild rides that I've ever been on, ever. Like, I was just speechless on some of the things that she's been through. So we really want to touch on what she's building, what she's accomplishing, how she's grown from that. So it's going to be really, really exciting. Her episode will air like the first week of the new year. So you have plenty of time to submit questions, topics, and direct questions for her either on TikTok or our website at lollipoppodcast.com. And we look forward to seeing you all next time in Candyland.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers.
Bye.
Bye.